Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The Word of God is taken from the fourth petition where Jesus instructs us to pray to the Father, give us this day our daily bread. That's the Word. Dear friends in Christ, in a rather funny autobiography, the cartoonist James Thurber tells of being in college and flunking a college course in botany. It seems that the other students would look through a microscope and then they were told to draw what they saw, the cell structure of the plants. But Thurber, who suffered from an eye disorder, would always complain to the professor, "Can't see anything." Well, each time this happened, the professor would begin very patiently, just like all of the faculty here, making fine adjustments to the microscope and then simply end in a fury when Thurber would still tell the professor, "I can't see." Well, finally, he dropped the course. A year later, took the class again, and finally, he looked into the microscope, and he saw something that he thought was worth drawing. And very excitedly, he began to sketch the series of specks and dots and patterns that he saw, and the professor walked over, very excited as well, with a great big smile on his face, only to look into the microscope, lose his temper once again, and shout at Thurber, "That's your eye. You fixed the lens so that it reflects. You've drawn your own eye." Well, folks, as I read that, I thought that's a pretty good picture of the world in which we live, where scientific materialism seems to hold the day, where all that counts is what we can see, taste, touch, smell, and handle. There is no other reality, and there certainly is no spiritual reality to speak of. We start out in this world realizing that there's more than meets the eye, as the poet Blake says. There's a profound sense of wonder to our lives when we're children. When we were kids, the world, everything in the world was brand new, tumbling in on us in profusion. We staggered through each day, fondling, looking, tasting. Words were wondrous. Running was wondrous. Touch, taste, and sound wondrous, families wondrous, friends wondrous, outside wondrous, and even bread on our table wondrous. We lived in a world of wonder. But then gradually a sense of wonder somehow got squeezed out of us for a number of reasons. But suffice it to say, I would contend that we are profoundly unaware of the wonder of this life, profoundly unaware of the wonder of what it means to be here, profoundly unaware of the wonder of what it means to be you and me, to be redeemed by Christ the crucified, profoundly unaware of how good it is to be brothers and sisters in community, loving one another, caring for one another, being a family of believers in Jesus Christ here. And we are profoundly unaware of how God is at work in the very ordinary details of our lives. But you see, this has never been easy for people to swallow, that God is at work in the very ordinary. There are always plenty of people around who will have none of this kind of language, none of this particularity. Human ordinariness, bodily fluids, raw emotions of anger and disgust, fatigue and loneliness. It's terribly hard to believe that God's work, this dazzling creation, this astonishing salvation, this cascade of blessings, is all being worked out in and under the condition of our humanity. At picnic tables and dinner tables, in conversations with one another, walking along our roads, in puzzled questions and homey stories, and in the scriptures with blind beggars and ostracized lepers at weddings and funerals. And yet everything that Jesus does and says always takes place within the limits and the conditions of our humanity. No fireworks, no special effects, no big pizzazz. Yes, there are miracles, plenty of them. But because for the most part, they're so much a part of the fabric of every day, very few people in our world seem to notice. The miraculous of the miracle is obscured by the familiarity of the setting, the ordinariness of the people involved. Reminds me of what John Henry Newman said. As a child, he imagined that behind every flower lurked an angel who made it grow and blossom. Later in life, as the foremost theologian in England, he wrote this: The reality is much more profound. It is God himself who can be discovered in the beauty of sensible things. And so in the fourth petition, we pray for sensible things. We pray for our daily bread as a daily reminder that our lives, like our bread, are gifts from God. Daily, we are dependent upon God. And this week, amid all of the talk about spiritual things and eternity and about heaven, this prayer reminds us that we are also fleshly people with fleshly needs who live by bread. We are not Gnostics who think that the flesh in the world is somehow inferior to the spiritual. You see, Gnosticism offers us spirituality without the inconvenience of creation. But we know that being saved is not only the realization that our lives, our eternal life, are gifts from God, but that our daily life is dependent upon bread, which this prayer teaches us to regard as gift. And our God loves to give gifts, and our God just loves to feed us. And he feeds us with all that we need to sustain this body and life, not only the bread on our tables, but the clothes on our back, the children in our homes, the spouses in our marriages, our friends, and yes, each professor, each student, and each staff member here on this campus are gifts of God to one another. And dear folks, we dare never forget that indeed you and I, all of us on this campus, are an answer to this prayer. God, give us daily bread. And God says, look around. Look around, because each person here is a gift of God. You see, the church is always teaching us through this prayer that all of our lives are fragile, dependent creations, and that God even cares about all that. And God gives us what we need, even something so mundane and yet so utterly essential as bread on our tables. And so when we want to meet God, we Christians don't go up to some high mountain. We don't rummage around in our psyches. We don't hold our hands, close our eyes, and sing kumbaya and hope that somehow God will take us there. Rather, we pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Not just as survival strategy, but in praying for daily bread, we're also remembering that all of the gifts are from the giver of the gifts, God himself. And of course, this is always the way Jesus is God among us, daily. Daily he meets us in his written word. Daily he meets us through a word spoken by a brother and sister pointing us back to Jesus. Daily he meets us as we talk to one another, love one another. Daily he meets us in the classroom. Daily he meets us to forgive our sins through his broken body on Calvary. And daily he meets us when and where we need him the most in our bodies, on our tables, in our homes, and then Sunday morning, his table, where he gives us the very bread of life. You know, our world teaches us to be self-sufficient, autonomous, freestanding people, our own men, our own women. The Lord's Prayer says, no. No, you're not. We're not self-sufficient. We're not our own men and women. In fact, the very bread on our tables are gifts from God. And so we need this prayer, especially this week, to remind us of our creatureliness, that we are not the creator, that not only are we saved by grace alone, but we're also saved and sustained by grace alone as well. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which goes beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith unto life eternal. Amen.